I have three sermons on my heart today, and don't worry, I'm not going to preach them all, but Michelle and I went out to dinner last night, and she said, what are you preaching tomorrow? I said, well, I've got this sermon, and I've got this sermon, and I've got this sermon, and so we over dinner last night, we discussed which one of the sermons we should preach. We landed on this one, which is called Remember. Remember. Tennessee Williams in 1931 wrote a story called Something by Tolstoy. And it's the story of a guy called Jacob Brodsky, who's a shy Russian Jew whose father owns a bookstore. And the older Brodsky wants his son to go off to college. And the boy, on the other hand, he wants nothing more than to marry Lila, who is his childhood sweetheart. Now, Lila is a French girl, effusive and vital and ambitious, just as much as he was contemplative and retiring. And so he goes off to college, and a couple of months into college, his father falls ill and dies, and the young Brodsky comes home, buries his father, marries his love, and they move into the apartment above the bookstore. And the young Brodsky takes over the management of the bookstore. And the life of books and contemplative reading fits him perfectly, but it cramps her. And so she, Lila, meets an agent who praises the beauty of her singing voice and entices her to tour Europe with him in a vaudeville company. And Brodsky is devastated as she decides to leave him. And at their parting, he reaches into his pocket and hands her the key to the front door of the bookstore. And he says to her, you and I love each other deeply, and I know that someday you're going to want this key. And so you'll come back sometime, and when you do, I will be waiting for you. And she kisses him and leaves. And to escape his pain, he withdraws deep into the bookstore, and he takes to reading like somebody would take to liquor. And he speaks a little, and he does very little, and most times he can be found at the back of the bookstore at the large desk reading and immersing himself in books. And he's waiting for his love to return. And 15 years go by, and at Christmas time, she does return. And when Brodsky rises from the reading desk, which has been his escape for all that time, he sees this woman come into the store, and he does not recognize her, and he says to her, do you want a book? And that he doesn't recognize her, that startles her. But she gains possession of herself, and she says, I do want a book, but I've forgotten the name of it. And so he says, well, can you tell me a little of the story? And so she begins to tell the story of childhood sweethearts and the story of a newly married couple and who lived in an apartment above a bookstore. The story of a young, ambitious wife who leaves him to seek a career and enjoys great success, but who could never relinquish the key that her husband gave her when they parted. And she tells him the story that she knows will bring him back to himself, but his face shows no recognition. You remember, you must remember it, she says. The story of Lila and Jacob. And after a long and bewildered pause, he said, you know, there is something familiar about that story. I think I have read it somewhere. It comes to me that it must be something by Tolstoy. And dropping the key, she flees the shop. And Brodsky returns to his desk and to his reading, unaware that the love he waited for has now come and gone. Something by Tolstoy, by Tennessee Williams. Those were the cliff notes. That story reminded me of Psalm 78. Because Psalm 78 is a chronicle of the nation of Israel and how God brought them out of Egypt and into the promised land, and how God did profound and beautiful things, where God demonstrated his love. He bared his arm to reveal his heart. He kept showing his people how much he loved them, how caring he was, how much into every specific detail he was, and his people kept forgetting him. Something by Tolstoy. Could be the story of Israel. But I want to read to you excerpts from Psalm 78 just to give you a sense of this thing, of what the brutality of forgetfulness will do in our lives and how it can steal from us, how it can literally rob us of our inheritance. And as a church, we are nothing if not passionate about you walking into all the inheritance that God has for you. So let me read for you Psalm 78 from verse 5 to 7. He decreed statutes in Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, that they in turn would tell their children, and then they would put their trust in God. They would not forget his deeds, but they would keep his commandment. Now, as we're going to go into Psalm 78, I want to just lay some foundations, a few governing principles and an understanding. If you have these understandings, I think they'll help you. So let's go first understanding. Everything that you have in the kingdom is designed to be multiplied. That means every time God gives you something, his intention is not that piece that he gave you, his intention that was the beginning of a thread that isn't going to explode on into that, which means that if you have walked in and you have tasted something of the healing power of God, it wasn't just that God wanted to heal you that time, it was that God wanted to reveal himself to you as the healer, and that you begin to live in the reality of that, and you begin to see the ever-expanding breakthroughs of God in that realm. See, Jesus said in Luke 19 and Matthew 25, when he told the parable, he said this is what of the talents. In Luke 19, he said he gave them talents. In Matthew 25, he talked about bags of gold. And so Luke 19 says, I tell you that everyone who has, to everyone who has, more will be given. Principle of the kingdom. These are parables of the kingdom. Jesus is enunciating one principle. This is the principle. To everybody who has, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But to everybody who does not have, even the little they have will be taken from them. Because he said, remember the one guy was unfaithful with his, and he said, take that and give it to the guy who's got 10. And they said, but he's already got 10 bags of gold. Jesus said, yeah, because this is how it works in the kingdom. Whoever has, in Matthew 25, will be given more, and they will have an abundance. God is not scared of abundance. He lives in it. Right? So understand the principle. Everything that God gives you, everything, every time you've had a breakthrough, every time there's been a release, every time you've seen a revelation, every time you captured something about the heart of God, this is the beginning. Because God intends to the one who has more to be given. And so he gives you something and he watches to see how you manage what he's given you. If you manage it well, he goes, give them more. To the one who has, more will be given. Hello? Every breakthrough is like a leak in the dam wall. It's the beginning of a much greater breakthrough. And so what is the enemy trying to do? You have a breakthrough in finances. The enemy was trying to plug up that thing. Don't plug this quickly. Because he knows if you'll jump on that, if you'll understand and grasp it and take it to heart, then that begins to become not just a little leak, it becomes a river. And then it becomes a flood. And then you have breakthrough complete and utter in this realm. And so the moment you have something, the enemy's job is his passion to try and steal it from you, to steal the seed of revelation, to deny and to bring doubt to the healing, to say, oh, that was just, everybody goes, that's just normal. That wasn't God, that was just circumstances. Every provision that God speaks to his nature, and it encourages more. Every healing shows his power and encourages further investigation. Every revelation opens up new vistas to previously unseen, which allows you deeper into your inheritance. God gives you a revelation. You step into it. Boom, new things open up. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. If you understand this principle of the kingdom, it is going to work whether you believe it or not. It is a principle of the kingdom. To the one who has, more will be added. This is great news for any testimony you have. Think on this. Any testimony you have, no matter how small. Well, I didn't have the big breakthrough. I just had a little boop, and it's dripping down the side of the damn wall. It's a breakthrough. If you'll take it, now to the one who has, more will be given. Do it, Lord. Do it, Lord. Isaiah 9. To the increase of princely power and of peace there is no end. In the message it says, his ruling authority will grow and there will be no limits to the wholeness he brings. The ever-increasing, ever-expanding glory of God, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. This is an ever-increasing kingdom, and God wants to everly increase it through you. And so everything that you have, he wants to you get the point? I don't want to belabor it anymore. It's no trouble for me to say it three or four times. That's the first concept. The second concept, as I want you to understand, is you and I can alter the timetable. If you have, more will be given to you. But here's the interesting thing, is you can speed it up or slow it down. There's a story we tell around here, and it's a little phrase that's become kind of built into the foundations of the church. There's this guy, loves playing golf. And his wife knows, goes and plays golf, then he sits with his friends and they talk, and then he comes back late at night. And she says, listen, you come back late one more time, I'm done. He goes, no, honey, I promise, 18 holes and I'm home. She goes, if you come back at 9 o'clock tonight, your bags will be outside the house. He goes, no, I'm going to have play golf, I'm coming straight home. So 9 o'clock that night, there he comes, his bags are outside the door. So he knocks on the door. He says, honey, no, I've got any. She says, I don't want to hear it. He goes, no, I'm serious. There was a terrible thing happened. She says, what happened? He said, I was playing with Bob. And then we were on the second tee. And she said, he drove his ball and he dropped down dead, heart attack. And he says, it was the worst day of golf. It was the worst day in my memory of golf. She goes, wow, it must have been terrible. He said, it was. I had to hit the ball and then drag Bob. All the golfers like, didn't understand, huh? Hit the ball and drag Bob, and then hit the ball and drag Bob. Took me a long time. Sometimes I feel like the Lord's dragging me. Sometimes I feel like I'm Bob. The Lord's going, hey, come, let's go into your kingdom. Okay. Wouldn't it be nice if you just stood up and worked with the Lord? Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord didn't have to drag you into every blessing? You know those posters, I saw footsteps on the beach, and then I go, no. In my case, like I saw one set of footprints and one set of drag marks. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be good if instead of having to drag me, I ran with him? Lord, what are we doing today? What's on your agenda? I'm in. How about the scripture in 2 Peter? Some of you are looking dubious. Let me just throw a scripture at you. It's what I do. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Well, I thought there's a day set in the ineffable will of God, and the sovereign will of God is determined when Jesus is coming back. Yes, and you can speed it. So there are some things I would like to suggest to you, that wisdom principles that you and I can engage in that are going to help us run next to the will of God and in the will of God, as opposed to us being dragged into it. That I want to speed forth. I want to shorten the agenda of God in my life. I want to get on it. I want to be in and on and about what God wants me to do right now, because there's so much to do. So this is various psalms, Psalm 77, 143, 145. I just want to put them up because I want you to see that this is what David did and this is what his contemporary does. He said, we meditate on the mighty deeds of the Lord. I take time. David said, I meditate on the words of the Lord, I meditate on his statutes, but I also meditate on his works. David said, I meditate on what God has done. Because there is nutrient in the works of God for my health, for my spiritual life. And so he said, I meditate on all your works. I meditate on your mighty deeds. I meditate on your wonderful works. I would like to suggest to you, if you want to speed forth the agenda of God in your life, that you take every little time that God has given you something and you meditate on it. Every time there was a healing, every time there was a provision, every time you saw God turn something around. Right now, we've had four testimonies in the last 2 weeks of radical turnarounds. There's a cluster in the church going on right now of radical turnarounds. If you caught that, that's wonderful. But if you'll just sit and think, hey, right now in the church, God is about radical turnarounds. Jump on that wagon. Me too. I don't want my turnaround to take 3 years. I want to take 3 minutes. Amen. Some people don't believe me. That too God will make plain to you. Forgetfulness brings terrible loss in the kingdom. Forgetfulness brings terrible loss in the kingdom. But remembering ushers in great kingdom inheritance. I think it was something by Tolstoy. I think it is remarkable. The children of Israel, went in, they saw the outstretched, glorious hand of God, and when it came time for them to go in and take the land, they balked at it. They forgot. And when you read the story, this is all happened in 40 years. They have literally walked outside every single morning, and manna, the bread of angels, is falling around their tents. They have literally never been sick in 40 years. Not one person in the whole of Israel was sick for 40 years. And when it came time for them to step up and believe God, they balked at it. Why? Because the Bible says they forgot. They forgot. Let me prove it to you. So what does remembering do? Remembering adds courage. Psalm 78. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. They did not keep God's covenant. He was a covenant partner. He promised to do some things. They were a covenant partner. They promised to do some things. They didn't keep their side of the covenant. They turned back on the day of battle. These were skilled warriors. They were renowned warriors. They were the ones that they sent out in front of them. The rest of Israel's army looked to them. These were the strong guys. These were the guys that were champions. And the men of Ephraim go out to battle. The champions go out to battle. And when it comes to the battle line, their courage fails them and they turn back and flee. And the rest of Israel's army is behind them and they see their champions going, whoa, run for your lives. They didn't keep God's covenant and they refused to live by his laws. They forgot what he had done. Forgetfulness brings great damage in the kingdom. David said, I killed the lion and I killed the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like them. There was courage in his heart. Do you understand? Because he remembered. I've been here before. God's come through before. I'm going to eat him alive. And I'm not just going to kill him, I'm going to kill all of those guys behind him. I'm going to take the whole nation captive. I just want to say, If we are the people who want to be full of boldness and courage, the righteous are as bold as lions. If there's something going to be in my heart when I come to the battle line, in that moment when I need the courage, in that moment where I've got to reach up my arm and trust God, because I go, God, they're bigger than I am, but you're with me, we can take them. I've seen you do this before. You've come through before. I've tasted it. I have a little in the kingdom. I'm asking for more now. Give me more breakthrough, Father. But if you need that boldness on that battle line, it comes because you've remembered. Because if you've forgotten, you'd be like the men of Ephraim who turned back on the day of battle because they forgot what he had done. Am I preaching to anybody here other than myself? I'm glad. I thought I was just me under the convictions of God. Remembering restores perspective. Do you know that the enemy wants nothing more than to reduce your perspective down to just a human reasoning? He wants nothing more than to capture you and to have you focus on the worst and weakest moments of your life and then try and define you by that mode. And all the Holy Spirit wants to do is redeem you from all of that and bring you into a clarity about who you are in Christ, about the majesty of the inheritance, about the grandness and the beauty of your God, so that you can walk out and be a conqueror in life by one Christ Jesus. And so the enemy wants to reduce you. And if you will not remember what God's doing in your life, I tend to find out, I become what Peter calls nearsighted and blind. But remembering restores perspective. I go, no. This is who God is. I'm feeling unwell in my body, but I remember. I remember the days he's healed. I've seen his glory. I've seen his glory in his people. I know what healing's like, and I'm going to walk in that again. There's a beauty to this. It restores perspective. Verse 34, whenever God slew them, they would seek him and they would eagerly turn to him again. So they'd hit hard times and they'd go, oh, we need help. And they remembered that God was their rock, that the Most High was their Redeemer. Suddenly, when they turned to God, it was like, oh, that's who you are. You're my healer. You're my redemption. You're my Father. You're my lover. You're my King. They remembered. And when you remember, your perspective explodes. I'm pretty sure that if we as families this week just took a little bit of time, a little bit of discipline as a family, to think back on this year and remember what God has done. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to push past the first 10 minutes, because the first 10 minutes you're going to look at each other like a calf at a new gate. I don't know what God did this year. And then it's going to start coming back to you. Oh, man, remember that? Wow. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And if you can't remember any of the works of God, start by writing down the things you're grateful for. What am I grateful for? Because, God, there were no miracles for me this year. Just start writing down the things you were grateful for, and I think it'll start to pop. Oh, yeah, that was the hand of God. Oh, yeah, that was cool. Oh, yeah, I remember that time when the Lord said, go and speak to this person, and I prophesied, and they started weeping. God, wow, that was cool. It's going to take more than just a little discussion. It's going to take you pressing. But I want to challenge you, dads, heads of the families, I want to dare you, I want to challenge you to take this week and require the family to sit around a meal and to have the conversation about what did God do for us this year, and to push it beyond the first 10 minutes. Because it's too important not to. Because I want to remember the full beauty of my God. And all the things that he revealed to us as a family this year, as a church family, as an individual family, what are the things that God showed? If we just look back, we have 2 or 3 testimonies every week. It's beautiful. Last week, we prepared 2 testimonies, and the people just couldn't, for some reason, on the morning, they couldn't get to church. So we go, these are the testimonies, and we look around, the people are not here. So we go, oh, okay, well, we'll get another 2. Well, could you come? It's easy. There's testimonies everywhere. We have a slew of testimonies every week of the wonders and the beauties of God. He's revealing, he's shouting, he's bearing his arm to reveal his heart, going, look at who I am. And friends, if we remember, you get a picture of a glorious God. I remember God is my rock and my redeemer. Because if I forget, you know what I remember? If I forget, I start thinking, I don't have this yet. And I don't have that yet. And the kids next door have better toys than me. Feels like that to me. Well, I got a new bicycle. But the kid next door got a better bicycle. His is blue. Remembering restores perspective. Do you feel like your perspective could stand a little restoration? Remembering, lastly, empowers our co-laboring. Verse 40, how often they rebelled against him in the wilderness and they grieved him in the wasteland. Again and again, they put God to the test. They vexed the Holy One of Israel. They stood in opposition. They put him to the test. They said, no, we don't want to. That's not wise. I don't want to be doing that. This, I'd much rather go here. They did not remember his power. What was underneath all of that? They did not remember his power. So they stood against him at every turn. He said, go in and take the giants. They said, you brought us here so that you could kill us and our wives are going to be taken as slaves and our kids are going to serve the giants. He said, no, they're not. I'm going to use you to kill the giants and I'm going to give you giants' houses, giants' vineyards, giants' wealth. This was my plan all along. I didn't want you to have ordinary amounts of, I didn't want you to have an ordinary house. I wanted you to have a giant house. So I let the giant keep it up for you. Now it's your time. Go and kill the giant. I go, oh, you're going to kill us here. And they resisted the will of God. They fought against God at every turn until he had to say, okay, then according to your word, it'll be done for you. You say, we're going to die here in the desert. Then according to your word, it shall be done. You will die in the desert. Let me ask you one thing. The confessions that are coming out of your mouth, are they in line with the word of God? This is the way you know. The stuff that's coming out of your mouth, is it positive? Is it full of faith? Is it what God's been saying? Or is it a confession of the opposite? It's a little whisper for you to go and remember some things. I want to co-labor with God. And when I remember what he's doing, when I remember, just in the last month, the testimonies we've had on stage, God is bringing constant healing, constant provision, constant smile of God all over this place. This is constantly happening. I wonder if we could, there's a gentleman walking around, we can maybe help him at the back there. I think we need to just, thanks. So there's this constant reminder. This is what's going on. And I think what we need to do is just remember what God's doing, and it helps me co-labor with what he's doing. I go, okay, that's very nice. I'm in. I want to be part of it. I want to step up and see what God's doing. Now, next week, as a service, we're going to have cardboard testimonies. And what we're going to do is we're going to have cardboard like this, and they're available outside today in the lobby, and they'll be available tomorrow, next Sunday before the service. So I'm going to ask you to come early before the service next Sunday, because I want to ask every family has probably got 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 or 20 of these. Because I guarantee you, if you'll take the time this week to write them down, you'll find out that there are hundreds. But I think every family should have at least 4 or 5. And so this is what a cardboard testimony is. This is my little one. A couple of months ago, I saw the church finances were a little low because I knew there were some I knew we had to close on the building, and I knew that was going to cost us about $60,000. And I looked at the money we had in the bank, and I looked at the bills and the extra $60,000, and I knew we didn't have enough money. And so I go, oh, we're running a little low. And so I prayed, and I called some people. And that week, $84,000 over above what we usually get came in 1 week. That allowed us to pay $60,000 clothing cost and to have a little bit of extra money so we could pay some other bills. To me, in 1 week, at the beginning of the week, I was worried. At the end of the week, I was rejoicing. That's all a cardboard testimony is. On the one side, it says, this is what it was. On the other side, this is what God did. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to either take some with you today, but come early. Don't come in 5 minutes late next week. Because we're going to change, I'm telling you, we're going to change the order of service. We're going to have a little bit of worship. Then we're going to have everybody who's had healing testimonies, just write these out and just come stand up here. 10 seconds. This is what the Lord did. This is what the Lord did. Next one. And I remember last year we did this and faith began to build in the room. And you see after the 15th, after the 20th, after the 40th, you go like, God is healing people left and right. And then we're going to have all the people who had healing testimonies come stand up front here, and then they're going to pray for people who need healing. It's going to be a different service next week. Then we're going to have all the people with provision, and they're going to come up and show us the cardboard testimonies, and then we're going to come stand up here, and we're going to pray for people, and we're going to see breakthrough in that. Because to the one who has, more will be given. So we have some categories. Obviously, provision, obviously healing. But there are some things that God has done in your family. Supernatural things God has done. Maybe salvations. Maybe he's turned things around. And then there are some other people. Maybe you've had encounters with the Lord. There's been some things the Lord has radically altered in your life. We're going to do some of those. So provision, healing, family, and encounters. And any other testimonies you have that doesn't fit in there, go in the encounter one. And we're going to come up with these. So I want you to prepare. I'm asking you for your sake to take some time this week and think this through and come prepared for next Sunday. Don't miss next Sunday. It's going to be faith building. And we're going to see breakthroughs, supernatural breakthroughs, because we remembered what God did. It's going to give us boldness. It's going to give us revelation. And it's going to give us focus. Let me pray with you. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name to say thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have watched over us. We thank you, Lord, that you have been kind and exceptionally good. We thank you, Lord, that throughout the course of this year, you have been bearing your arm to reveal your heart. And I ask, Lord, that for us, we would see in an increased measure everything that you're doing and everything that you're wanting to do. Bring forth life and grace and remembrance. Let us remember well what it is that you've done. And add, Lord, to those who have, add more so that we can have an abundance. In Jesus' name, amen.